How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
5, 6, 7, 8, Lolo, part 2.
Mm-hmm.
We nailed that.
We did. I'm really proud of us.
Wow, way to go.
Good job,
part
guys.
Two, y'all.
All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Consider with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara.
It's been a hot minute since the Gilmore to Consider.
I know. You know what I was thinking about is since we rebranded in... Was that in August?
Yeah, August.
We haven't had one. And so this is our first time getting to use the Gilmore to Consider cover. We're on the phone.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my
goodness. I've been thinking about that. So if you are listening, of course you're listening and you can see the logo. I don't know where you would be listening this and you couldn't see it, but the cover art looks a little different.
Wow.
Because it's for our Gilmore to Consider segment.
You're
we
so
haven't used
right.
it before.
I didn't even think about that. That's so cool.
It's actually all I could think about.
Wow. Great.
I've got the brain cell today.
She does. I have no brain cells today.
We flip it back and forth. Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Haley's having quite a day today.
Oh my gosh.
You
guys.
Tell them about your morning?
Oh my God. My house is infested with yellow jackets. Doesn't that sound like something that happens in a scary movie or like Black Mirror or something?
Correct.
Terrifying?
Correct.
So I was locked in my bedroom all morning because my mom was trying to kill the yellow jackets. And then I'm now upstairs where I record the pod, also locked in, can't open the door because there's dozens and dozens of yellow jackets in my home.
That's insane.
And my mom found out where they were coming in from. So she sprayed it from the outside and it just made more of them come inside.
Oh my goodness.
And it's been really cold in Georgia, admittedly. It's a little fall touchdown
yeah.
in here. It's 58, 60 degrees. So
Ooh.
Those yellow jackets, they weren't ready. They weren't ready.
No, they wanted to come inside and be warm.
Yeah.
But
so
your mom
me
said,
and,
no, no.
Yeah, exactly. But me and Nellie, she's still with me. We're sheltering in place.
Genuinely.
Infestation. Yeah.
Wow.
So that's fun. If you hear buzzing in the background, run.
Or if you hear boom booms in the background, there's construction going on.
There's construction, too. There's the hot water went out. There's just a myriad.
Yeah, the hot
problems.
Water went out. Oh, my God. You're totally right.
Do you know when it went out?
When?
Well, I was in the shower.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I was
God.
Like, well, this is over.
Yeah.
We're all done here.
Well, this is over. Yeah, yeah, Haley and I were texting and she was like, so this is what's going on this morning. I was like,
just
what
one thing after
fuck?
Another. And
yeah.
like my medication was like free and now it's going to be almost $2,000.
That
so, like,
is insane.
That's fun too. Just don't know what's going to happen today. So I'm hoping this episode is super, super fun.
Yeah.
And everything for the rest of the day goes really, really great. Otherwise, I'm just going to go to sleep.
Okay. Go to sleep. That's a good solution.
Yeah. It kind of feels like when, is it Que Sera Sera's playing? And Lorelai walks into the front porch and her foot just
and
goes through it.
And her foot just falls right through it. Is
That's what I'm anticipating.
Que Sera Sera. Yeah. But you got to keep Que Sera Sera playing in your mind when that kind of shit happens.
Exactly. You know, Kelly references that in her memoir.
Does she? Oh, yeah, she does. I read that part. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. And I was like, oh, my God.
It's so good. I cannot wait to cover that with you because I'm just like crying constantly.
I know.
Listening to the audiobook. Because
so
I know you're
good.
Not much of an audiobook person, but... You should
oh,
listen
no,
to the Kelly
I
audiobook.
Would like to listen with Kelly. Nancy did the same thing. She said it was phenomenal. And I think that Christy did the same thing. So
yeah. And the thing that our book club is saying on Patreon, if you want to come join, it's free, is that it feels like you're just getting coffee with Kelly and she's telling you all these stories. Mm. And it's just, it's so good. It's one of my favorite memoirs I think I've ever read, not just because it's Miss Kelly Bishop, Miss Emily Gilmore, but it's just so well done. I love
it. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. You know, Yellow Jackets and the third Gilmore Girl. Nothing
yeah, what
like
a pairing.
The beginning of a Gilmore to Consider. So much to consider there.
There's a lot to consider in that statement, yes.
But we hope that you will consider coming to St. Louis.
Yes,
that's
we would
coming
love.
Up.
I can't believe that that's coming up so soon.
So soon. It's 2 weeks from this Thursday. So today's the 22nd. So 2 weeks from this Thursday, which is November 7th, we will be in St. Louis for a deep dive.
Gilmore to Say Friendsgiving.
Gilmore to Say Friendsgiving.
What a mouthful.
Wow.
Really rolls
we
right
came
off
up with
the
that.
Tongue. I know. We decided on that.
We decided on that. And it's going to be so much fun. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
We have our outfits sort of planned. We kind of have a direction that we're going in.
Oh, you're right. We do. We totally do. Oh, I forgot about that. I got to get my outfit.
I know. That was a little bit of a reminder to you.
Thank you.
Because I hadn't asked you about it in a second, but I am excited for that. But I'm just excited to go to St. Louis. I think it's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a great time. We're really excited to explore the city a little bit. We're excited to see our friends. I cannot wait to meet Christy.
I know. I can't wait to meet Kayla.
Oh my God. Kayla's very excited to meet you. It's so weird to me that the two of you have not met.
Yeah. Kayla is a friend of Tara's who was working on the podcast with us for a second. She's on And Just Like Her.
And Just Like Her, she's been one of my main co-hosts there.
Yeah.
She's the
delightful
best.
Delightful darling.
Oh my God, the best. But she and Haley became fast friends, which I knew you would because Kayla has a personality very much like mine. She's very like outgoing and expressive, sarcastic, etc. But she's like a reader girly through and through.
Her interests
align with Haley 100%.
Our temperaments don't align though, because I am like quiet as can be, quiet as a mouse.
But she's kind of the middle of the Venn diagram between the two
of
us.
It really is. But yeah, that is so true. But not only am I excited to meet our pals, but I'm also excited to meet y'all. It's like always my favorite part is when we end the show and then we get to talk to everyone.
So true.
Of course, I'll have friendship bracelets and you don't have to have one to receive one.
No, it's true.
Return. I'm going to try and make a bunch of Thanksgiving themed ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to have a ton of fun. And that'll be on November 7th. So get your tickets. They're in the show notes. It's in link in bio on Instagram.
Yes.
You can find it.
You'll find it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about it. It's going to be a great time. And then after that, of course, about a month later, I'm going to be going to Atlanta, which I'm really excited about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you know who might be coming to Atlanta? Phoebe and Caroline from Pretty Little Podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Fun.
They have family in Atlanta. And so when she found out we were going, she was like, I'm going to try to get tickets. I said, get them now because Haley's family is probably buying out the entire venue.
That one's probably going to sell out.
Yeah.
So,
no, it definitely will.
Like, tickets always pick up closer to the event, but there's not a lot of tickets to pick up. So if
there
you're planning on going to Atlanta, get your tickets because that is going to, those tickets are going to be gone.
We're well over halfway sold at this point. And so I think that by the time we get there, our producer was like, this is definitely going to be sold out, which is great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Amazing.
I know.
But, yeah.
Fun.
You'll meet all my family. Both of my grandmas will be there.
Oh my God. Both of them? Wow.
Both of them. Yeah.
I feel honored. I'm very excited.
It'll be fun. Y'all can
I know
meet
that
too.
Grandmommy is what you call number one. What about the other one?
Mama Beth.
Mama Beth.
Or Bess. Yeah.
Bess. Oh, that's right. You told me about
Bess. I talked about Bess. Yeah.
Completely. Okay, great.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
So if y'all want to meet my grandparents, feel free. My grandmothers will be there. We'll have cake, but we will have drinks at St. Louis because it's a city winery. But that's the shows coming up. We'll definitely be doing more shows next year because we have loved doing them.
Yeah.
But those are the two that are coming up. Go ahead and get your tickets and we're going to be so excited to see you.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah, before we get into today's episode, we have some voicemails talking about Lorelai and Logan, of course, from our
Lolo,
last episode.
Lolo, if you will.
Lolo. Tara wouldn't let me say it, but recently on Patreon, I stuttered like and smashed two words together and I accidentally said Logalai.
I
love it.
Tara
wouldn't let me start the episode with a 5, 6, 7, 8 Logalai.
It sounds like Legolas from Lord of the Rings.
It's like Kirkland brand Legolas.
Yes,
is Logalai.
Yes, exactly. That is exactly what it is.
Lorgan was the other
one. Oh, Lorgan I hate even more than Logalai. So Lolo is what I will sit with. Everything else is just a no-go.
But that's what we're going to be talking about because we got some voicemails today that Tara listened to. Tara listened to them while I was muted on FaceTime and I just watched her smile listening to them and I was laughing. I meant to tell you that. I was just cracking up because you were just like smiling and then you'd like have like a face and it was delightful to watch. So I
forgot that I hadn't muted myself. So then
muted. I was just watching you.
No, I muted myself like towards the end of that.
Oh, I didn't hear you at all.
You didn't? I all of a sudden looked down and I was like, oh, I'm not muted. What? I don't even know what I've been saying. Have I been responding to them? Hilarious.
No, but you were quite expressive in your listening of them. So I knew I was very excited to hear them. But before we get to that, we have to talk about something that we briefly mentioned.
Hold on a sec. We don't have to talk about anything.
Oh, we do because I put it on our stories. I have to address it. for our Instagram followers, who, if you're not on Instagram, we do polls and such. But if you are on Instagram, you probably saw a question box and poll, because last week we mentioned it very, very briefly, because this is a conversation that's been happening on Patreon recently, because we, what episode was it? Season 6, episode 3, The Ungraduate.
Yes.
Where Paris comes to the inn and she's having these coffees with Lorelai. And one of the questions she has for Lorelai is what she should wear in bed. And this specifically was after her and Doyle have sex. Mm-hmm. This was not the conversation that we had, but no. This was kind of the jumping off point of like, kind of like what you wear to bed in general. And we just mean to sleep, not anything else. It's just what you wear to bed. And this is where we found out that Brett makes fun of Tara, because Tara wears a head to toe full... full body pajamas every night.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Scarf, hat.
Stop it. You and Brett are one and the same. Oh my God. Okay. So what I was sharing with Haley is that Brett, our entire relationship, has made fun of me because when I sleep in clothes. And he just, for some reason.
With bed jeans.
Not bed jeans. Not bed jeans. But that is exactly what he says. He's like, what the fuck are you wearing? And it's because I love Aries leggings. They're very soft. And someone did agree with me on that on Patreon. They were like,
And so this is where this is going. Yeah.
Okay. So I love to wear like leggings and a t-shirt to bed. And when Haley heard that, she was like, wait, no.
That's like the most crazy thing I've ever heard.
Until you just said that. Like, yes, yeah. I will wear pajamas.
And I will say, I don't wear leggings during the day. I don't like wearing tight clothes. I buy like all my clothes a size
too
big.
Yeah, you're a very like loosey-goosey lady.
That's how I am in general. But you're a loose goose. In bed, I would never. I'm like more of like underwear, oversized shirt, maybe a cute matching set. Sometimes I'll wear like pants and like long sleeve set if it's cold outside.
Yeah, of course.
But for the most part, it's t-shirt all the way.
Sure.
And I was kind of like aghast, but I like, you know, I was like, maybe other people feel the same way. But the best part about this was our editor, she listened to this the same day and she was like, Tara, you sleep in leggings? And I was like, wait, are you aghast or are you in agreement? And she was like, this is egregious.
Yeah.
Like, how could you do this? This is psychotic. But the even better part was a little bit later, she played it for Natalia, who does reels for us, and their best friends. And she just took a little video of Natalia hearing this, and she said...
She said something to the effect of, like, leggings are insane.
That's what she said. She said, leggings are insane. So we had to take it to the people of Patreon, or all of our Patreon members. And for the most part, everyone was like, no. But there were a couple of people of Tara's leggings sleeping cult that arose and agreed.
Yeah.
Some people were like, I would rip them off before.
Totally. And I completely understand. I don't know why I've always been a leggings girl. Like, just always have been. I like to feel not like cocooned. I need to feel free in bed, but moreover, like I can't be wrapped up in a blanket. Like I need to be able to sprawl.
Compressed.
Yes, I like being compressed.
Can't relate in the slightest.
Yeah, there are a lot of people that cannot relate to
so
that.
So I asked people what they sleep in, like just kind of in general. And most people are like shorts and a tee, big tee, no
pants. Which I just want to say, I also sleep like that.
Yeah.
I also sleep in like a large t-shirt, pantsless, or a large t-shirt with shorts, like 1,000%, especially during the summer.
She's lying. She's trying to save her image.
That's our
she
show,
wears
ladies.
A parka. She wears shoes to bed.
Bed no, shoes.
But a lot of people responded and said they wear their husband's t-shirts. And I was like, oh, that's like a very high population of people.
Can I tell you why I can't wear Brett's t-shirts to bed? And I have, if I spend the night and I'm not prepared, I'll wear one of his t-shirts to bed. Can I tell you why I can't? Because he buys smalls and mediums.
Oh my God.
I can't sleep in a small t-shirt.
I don't even buy smalls and mediums.
I know.
I buy all my shirts in extra large.
He doesn't have oversized t-shirts.
So like, Brett could wear your t-shirts then.
Yes.
He wears your t-shirts to bed.
Yes, because I'm buying.
No, he doesn't, because he doesn't wear nothing. And that was the
thing. That's true. So that's the thing.
Part of the joke, too, is that Brett was wearing nothing and Tara was wearing like a full like knight's uniform.
Before you continue on.
Chainmail.
Can you please read the text message exchange between.
Oh, I don't even know where it is.
It's in our group chat. It's me, you, and LaRon. Just search nightwear. spelled the way that you know it's meant to be spelled. It's basically, I told Brett about it the next day, or maybe it was that night. And I was
It was that night.
I was sitting with him at trivia, and he took my phone and
I have it here.
Started texting Haley and Laron.
Because part of this was Laron, our editor, said, "My jaw is on the ground at this conversation." She said, "This is the funniest thing y'all have ever talked about." Which, if you want to just fast forward to the Lorelai and Logan part of this, feel free. But this is what Brett said. He said, "Hello, this is Brett," because he joined in our conversation. He said, "Thank you for seeing me. Thank you for understanding that for 3 years I've laid beside a woman who has worn nothing but a parka and corset to bed. I respect her. I respect her comfort. I want her to sleep like the angel that she is, but I am deeply concerned." And then he sent a GIF of a knight in full armor, full regalia, and said, "Pictured Tara Llewellyn's nightwear." And then he changed it, the N in nightwear, to have a K in front of it, nightwear. And
it was, I mean, we were laughing so hard.
We like, truly, this is like our most favorite thing.
So good.
It's been a hot topic these days on Patreon. I think we've brought it up in every episode since.
Yeah.
And we are now on we've just finished recording episode 6. So like for the past 4 episodes, we've been discussing this, but
hot topic. Yeah.
But what I wanted to share was the close call here, because I put the question box up on our stories to ask people, but then I did a little poll, and the poll was, do you sleep in leggings? Do you sleep in leggings, rather? And the answers were, of course, I sleep in leggings. Maybe if it's cold. And the last one was, what? Absolutely never. And 6% of people agree with you. Of course, well, I sleep in leggings. Maybe if it's cold, 17%.
Okay.
What absolutely never was 76%. Now, this poll hasn't been up for too long, but almost 2,000 people said what absolutely never.
Tight race.
Very tight. Too close to call. We'll have a recall election.
No, yeah. Listen, here's what I'm going to say. Back. Here's what I'm going to say. Aries leggings.
Oh, and that's what Laron was like. Surprised by. She was like, it wasn't even like cotton leggings, it was airy workout leggings.
Well, they're not the workout leggings.
Are they
leggings. Yeah, they're like the soft
What's
leggings.
The difference?
The soft leggings. They're like buttery soft.
She's showing them to me now. This is not a video episode, but I wish it was.
They're buttery soft. I don't know. I'm not wearing like the
moisture wicking.
Right. Yeah. No. But I also sleep in like an oversized t-shirt, and I have pajama sets. I change it up. But yeah, more than likely, yeah, I like some leggings. I like for my tummy to be covered. I don't know why I like that. And
see, I'm
Brett
the opposite. Like if anything is pressing against my stomach will hurt. And
oh,
I just
okay.
don't want it.
Sure. I get that.
It's not into that.
I just get roasted a lot. And now I've brought it to the public. Well, yeah, I first like brought it to like the private everyone. Public. And then I got roasted even more. And then I brought it to the paywall
people
public.
People had to pay to listen to this roast. And now you can listen to it for free. Here streaming on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. Or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Anyway, there is a
it
small
was Gilmore Girls
of
related
people.
Because it started
Yeah, it
from
started
Paris.
Very. It started very Gilmore related. But there is a small cult of people who do, in fact, wear leggings to bed. So thank you so much for seeing me.
Yeah. And I will say that was one of the reasons why we wanted to bring this to the main pod on Gilmore to Say today on this very Tuesday is so Tara could find her people. And if you're one of Tara's people, feel free to reach out to her. Send her maybe a little heart emoji in her DM so she
thank
knows
you.
That you stand with her.
Thank you.
Through this trying time.
Thank you so much. Anyway, we have some voicemails.
We do have some voicemails. Can I tell you, before we get into the voicemails, this is also related. When I listened back to A Mother Is Not a Boyfriend from our 2022 episode, I realized it was like a really early episode for us. And I was like still really hard pushing the agenda that like I will not speak ill of Logan Huntsberger. He is my favorite thing. And listening back, I'm like, I can tell that I know that I was joking, but I sound really serious.
Mm.
And I was like, wow, I really understand why people were like, oh, does Haley like Gilmore Girls or does she like Logan Huntsberger? And can you separate the two?
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that was like still early on. But if you've been
well,
here since
it was
then.
Early on. And I think people were still getting to know us. They were getting to
and
know
our sense
our
of humor.
Humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And So I think that if they don't know or understand who we are as people, maybe if they haven't been listening from the beginning and seen the journey, then maybe they wouldn't know that you were joking, you know? Yeah,
but no, that was like episode 10.
That's right. So it was pretty early on. People didn't really
know us. It was really early on. And I was like, wow, okay. But yeah, I just thought that was funny to listen back and be like, wow, I guess I just went in really hot, really hard with that one. But I'm ready. I'm here to criticize this.
Yeah.
Criticize this man.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah.
Listen, there's not necessarily a lot of criticism per se on Logan. There's just a lot of thoughts on whether or not what we were talking about last week presented enough evidence to say whether or not Lorelai and Logan are two sides of the same coin. And people called in with some mixed reactions, which I really love. It wasn't unanimously one way or the next, because we said that we didn't want to come up with a verdict. I think that was smart, because I think you can make arguments for both, and we did. So totally. We had some people call in, and I'd love to play those for you now.
Please do.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
I know a lot of you besties are romance readers like me, and let me ask you, is there anything better than when the next book in a series you love is finally released? For me, that is The Davenports More Than This by Crystal Marquis. This is the much-anticipated sequel of The Davenports, which was an instant New York Times bestseller. I loved The Davenports. It was giving Will They or Won't They Bridgerton vibes, so of course, opulent historical drama with leading ladies and their dashing suitors, grand balls, and drama. You know I love the drama. All set in 1910 Chicago with a wealthy black family, the Davenports. And I love that the author's inspiration for the Davenports was a real family, the daughters of C.R. Patterson, who was a carriage manufacturer in the early 1900s. And I can confirm The Davenports More Than This continues the story you fell in love with, or will fall in love with if you haven't started yet, as we pick back up with Ruby, Olivia, Amy Rose, and Helen as they navigate a rapidly changing society and discover the courage to steer their own paths in life and, of course, in love. As the drama heats up in the summer of 1910, you'll find these young black women meeting new faces and facing new trials that change their lives and hearts in ways they couldn't have imagined. If you've read The Davenports, you know you want to pick this up immediately, and if you have not yet read this series, this is the perfect time of year to settle into a story that you won't want to leave. You can buy your copies at The Davenports by Crystal Marquis and its sequel, The Davenports More Than This, wherever books are sold.
Haley, do you like free stuff?
I do like free stuff.
Well, then you're in luck, because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now, and they are giving away free gifts with every purchase.
We have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year.
If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone.
You are not. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body.
Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, managing stress, balancing hormones, improving your mood, feeling refreshed, all in one bottle.
When you get all 7 critical forms of magnesium, pretty much every function in your body gets upgraded.
Right now, for the entire month of November, Buy Optimizers, the makers of Magnesium Breakthrough, are having a Black Friday blowout sale on all of their products.
All month long, you will get discounts with our unique code, plus access to up to $100 in free gifts with purchase.
This is the best time to stock up and take advantage of all the free extras you're going to get. You can only get this exclusive deal through our link for our Gilmore to Say audience only. You won't find this on Amazon or even on the company website. So go to buyoptimizers.com/moretosay and use code moretosay to get your discount and free gifts today.
And one last thing, you should know all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked.
Again, the link to go to right now for this exclusive deal is buyoptimizers.com/moretosay. Okay, so I want to start out with a listener who called and agreed with us, but then also had some follow-up that I want to hear your thoughts and opinions on, and if it would sway you one way or the next. So let's hear from our bestie, Jessica.
Hi, this is Jessica. I just listened to the Logan Lorelai episode, and I have a lot of thoughts. The first is I definitely think that Logan and Lorelai are very similar. I actually think Logan, it represents a lot of what Lorelai potentially would have been like if she hadn't had Rory. Just like a rebellious and reluctant journey to like doing what their parents wanted for them, but in that same rebellious and reluctant energy that Logan did. Which why is also, I think, would be interesting to see how Logan would be as a father, because as we leave it off in the revival, obviously, like, he's working for his father and he has this dynastic plan, but I think ultimately he would step up and like throw whatever his parents plan for him and his family plan to the wind, like, and step up as a father, just like he stepped up in every new role that he did. So I think that that would be a really interesting thing to see. And it also made me think about what you said about Dean and how Lorelai compared him to Christopher. But I've always thought that Dean was much more like Luke, and that like dependable acts of service kind of guy that would, albeit reluctantly, do whatever the Gilmore Girls say or want. So I see a lot more similarities in that. And Jess ultimately being more like Christopher, and that like he has this deep connection with Rory, just like Christopher has this deep connection with Lorelai, but ultimately like they just cannot depend on these men as a partner, and that's why they can never like stand the test of time in a relationship. Let me know your thoughts. Love
you.
Bye.
We love you too, Jessica.
I really love this perspective because I think we could get into the Dean and the Jess of it all. We have talked about how Dean and Luke can be two sides of the same coin.
Some people are like, this is your worst take ever. And some people are like, never thought of that. Yes, yes, yes.
Same. I actually was part of the latter camp. But I think that with Jess and Christopher, there could be similarities drawn there. And maybe we'll talk about that one day. But for now, let's focus on the Logan and Lorelai.
It's because they're both the line from Cardigan of even like a father running like water. Jess and Chris shaking hands emoji.
That's fair. Yeah. So when it comes to Lorelai and Logan, I really wonder, and Christopher, let's kind of throw him back in there. I do think that seeing what kind of father Logan turns out to be,
yes,
will inform whether or not we feel like Logan is more like Christopher or Lorelai. If he steps up in the same way that Lorelai did, great. If he is absent and, you know, kind of takes the same path that Chris does, I would say that he's probably more like Chris.
Yeah. What I really liked that Jessica said here was that they had this path that was rebellious and reluctant. Mm. And in terms of their family plan, not their family planning. Their family's plan. Yes. Yeah. But I do then wonder, in terms of a family plan, like Chris really didn't show up, very unreliable. Mm-hmm. Showed up as it suited him. I'm really interested what that would be for Logan. It really does feel like the test of like, which path is he truly going to take? And I know that we all have kind of this like romantic idea that because Logan loved Rory so much, he couldn't let her go even when he had someone else, that like he became a boyfriend and that was like the best thing that ever happened to him and the worst thing because he couldn't let go of it, it being Rory and the love and the relationship there. And that because of that, he would just like drop everything his family wanted for him and run to her and raise their child. But I don't know.
I don't either.
He's never had the courage before. And children change a lot of things. It didn't change much for Chris, but he was 16. Mm. So I do wonder if like being an adult, if that is the thing that he's like, fuck all this. Fuck my dad, kind of. Like, I don't know how he would balance that.
I don't either.
I want to say that he's going to run to Stars Hollow. He's going to move in. They're going to have like a Three's Company sort of relationship where they all live in the same house. And it's, what is it? Three men and a baby. It's like two Lorelais and a Logan and a baby. Mm. So much fun. So much fun to imagine. But I don't know that he would be that just give up everything.
Yeah.
And I think maybe there's a middle place, a middle ground. There's a spectrum of Lorelai to Chris. I think that maybe he'd fall somewhere in the middle, but I don't think that he would fall as close to Lorelai as I would like to romanticize him to be.
Yeah. Yeah. I really don't know. And we may never find out what kind of father
I know.
He is.
And
admittedly,
I don't think
we will find out what kind of father he is. And I think that Amy's intention, maybe not down to like every single move, was for history to repeat itself, kind of. Yeah. In that, like, Logan doesn't really have the ability to be a present father because of everything that's already been set up for him because of
he
the timing.
In London.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. Like, his arranged marriage, living in London, running this company. Like, there's so much in the way
there's
of
a lot
him.
Of barriers, yeah.
Yeah, showing up to be conveniently, like, making it convenient for him to show up to be a good father, which yes. I think is, in turn, much more like Chris. But I think that that would inform and determine a lot about how we see Logan in relation to Lorelai versus Christopher.
Definitely. I will say, we don't know a lot about why Chris didn't show up. We speculate on it. We assume things are implied. But there's really no reason. Because right. like, he didn't go to Princeton, but like no one really knows why. Because like, what was he doing? But I think regardless, if Logan didn't like show up in the like very present way that like, say, Luke as a surrogate father figure kind of did when she only ate mashed potatoes for a week.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not making those mashed potatoes, everyone's like, where's Jess? Let him do it.
It's
so
true.
Yeah, it is the test of, is he taking the Lorelai path or the Chris path? And we may never know. We probably won't. Yeah. Would we watch it? 1,000%.
Always. Yes, it's true. But speaking to Logan, kind of being two sides, like the other side of this coin flip toss up between Lorelai and Chris, because they are kind of two sides of the same coin. We had another caller call in about this, and it's actually two voicemails. That's how many thoughts they had.
Wow.
So let's hear from our bestie, Mackenzie.
Hi, besties. It's Mackenzie. I just finished listening to your episode about Logan and Lorelai. I actually took notes. I have a lot to say. I think that I was probably one of those people that was like a pink sparkly heart. No, I don't think that they're like two sides of the same coin. And while I still stand by that, I do think that you're not wrong, that there are a lot of similarities. But these are what I wrote down. For their dialogue being similar, I think it's just due to similar upbringing. They both grew up in Hartford. They both grew up with rich families. They both grew up going to private schools. They both grew up in a similar dynamic that I think it just makes sense that a lot of the ways that they see the world or like the roots are very similar. But I also think that could be true to say of Chris, because I do think Logan is more like Chris than he is like Lorelai. But I also think that Chris and Lorelai, as you guys said in the episode, are two sides of the same coin. And I think it's easy to say that Logan is a lot like Lorelai because he's a lot like Chris, because Chris and Lorelai are very similar as well. And as you said, you know, we get to see Lorelai's journey of leaving and Chris's journey of staying. I think we get the same thing with Logan. And I'll say more about that later. With his antics, I think that, you know, like the stealing of the sewing box and stuff, I think that's something that I could totally see Christopher doing as well. Another thing I wrote down is you guys were talking about seeking approval from the parents. I think that Lorelai seeks approval less than Logan does. I think because Lorelai has been on her own as much longer than Logan ever has, that she doesn't need it as much. This doesn't mean she doesn't want it and doesn't like it, but she just doesn't seek it out as much. And I think they differ in their parental relationships is very different. Like, I think Lorelai has a better relationship with her parents than Logan ever will, but I also think that Logan and Chris have similar parental relationships. And I think that, I don't remember you guys saying this, I know you've talked about the family business, but I don't think for Chris and Logan it was as much about carrying the family business as it is carrying the family name. They're the only boys in their family. They're the only ones who can carry on the legacy of the name, which is why it's so important on who they marry and on what they do. Yes, the business is important, but it's not as important as them being people who are worthy of carrying the name and being in relationships with people who carry on the family name, which is why Shira tells, you know, Lori that she's not really good enough for Logan because although she's a Gilmore, she's not on the level of a Huntsberger. Lorelai and Rory, although they're Gilmores, they don't have to carry on that family name. They don't have that pressure on them as much as Logan and Christopher do, which is why I think Logan and Christopher are more alike. I think we can attribute a lot of the similarities that we see between Lorelai and Logan to Christopher as well, because Christopher and Lorelai and Logan all had similar upbringings. They all grew up in Hartford. They all grew up in wealthy families. They all grew up going to the club. They all grew up in private schools. They all grew up in those kinds of life, in that avenue of life, in that path of life. Yes, Lorelai leaves, but Christopher and Logan don't. Why? Because they have to carry this family name. And there's too much pressure. There's too much riding on them to be able to actually leave. And I think both of them use dating Gilmore Girls as a form of escape. It's a way to play with the idea of what's the life that I could have had if I could leave. I think that's why in A Year in a Life, Logan is still sleeping with Rory, because he does want to leave. And I think if he felt like he could, he would have, but he understands that he carries his family name. So in order to have the feeling like I left and not leave, I'll have an affair with Rory and it's okay. I think with Christopher, it's very similar. I think Christopher used Lorelai as a way to escape without having to escape. So I just, in the end, I just think Logan's similarities to Lorelai could really always be attributed to Christopher too. Anyways, thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
When Mackenzie at the beginning of that said she took notes, I was like, oh my gosh. And then as she talked, I was like, she took notes.
She did. I love when people come with facts to back it up.
Wow. Yes. And you know what I will say? It's not that I don't in any way disagree with her. I think that it's more that there is a trio Venn diagram between the three of them, between Chris, Lorelai, and Logan. And the evidence in the very center is probably the biggest. I think there's less that is maybe attributed only to Chris and Logan, and only to Logan and Lorelai, and only to Chris and Lorelai. I think it's in the center. What they all share is probably the biggest, that they all have a lot in common. Because a lot of like what she mentioned, we did say about that, like the parental relationships are very different. Like Lorelai does seek less approval than Logan, even if she wants it. I honestly think Lorelai wants it. Like she seeks it out less, but wants it more.
Yeah.
I think that Logan seeks it out more, but wants it less.
Interesting. You think he seeks it out more?
Well, yeah, because he stays there and he does everything that's asked of him. But I think that he doesn't take a lot of stock in the approval of his parents, because he just knows he's going to be a disappointment and he kind of accepts it. I think that Lorelai actually wants it more but seeks it less. But, you know, what I was thinking about in these, like, parental relationships is the relationships that they have with their fathers. Their father, I haven't said that in a second, but Lorelai with Richard, of course, Chris with Strobe, and Logan with Mitchum. And I kind of wish we could have seen Mitchum die, because we saw.
Do you?
And that's the episode.
Do-do-do-do-do.
No, because we saw the other two characters mourn the loss of their father and what that meant to them.
Yeah.
And I would have really loved to have seen Logan's character go through that, because in the last voice when we're talking about these markers of like how they're similar, it really destroyed Chris, and like it destroyed Lorelai in a very different way. But yeah, I just, as she was talking about that, I was like, oh, that would have been really interesting. To the carrying on the name portion of it, I see that for Logan, definitely. I see it less for Chris, because Chris kind of seems like he's bumbling about, admittedly, and his parents are fine to let him bumble about. And then when he needs to, like by the end in the revival, he's kind of in seemingly the family business. What did Strope do?
No idea.
Had an office and sat at the desk.
Yeah,
he's excelling at it. You know, that's kind of what we all do.
Yeah.
But that's for how he's carrying on the family name. I think that, I don't think he did a good job of carrying on the name. I don't think he cared so much, but there's a lot less evidence for me that that's what he was doing. Definitely for Logan, but not as much for Chris.
Their last names both begin with H.
True.
Hayden
is his last name.
Yes. What I really found fascinating about Mackenzie's voicemails.
Dissertation.
Yeah, no, I loved it. is that she basically said for all the holes that you guys had in, like for all the caveats you had in their similarities, Chris fills in those differences.
And that's why I think there's like a trio Venn diagram of.
Yeah, totally.
Triagram?
I can totally see that. The Venn diagram between Lorelai and Chris really is Logan. And it's, we were just kind of figuring out whether there's one that leans heavier into him. And I think you can make an argument for either. But I will say the pressure to carry on the family name versus the family business, I do think was an interesting point that we maybe didn't talk about, that these men have this pressure of like, quote unquote, the family name, which is such an archaic way of kind of thinking about life because we exist in a patriarchal society. But I never really thought about that before, because I do think the difference, like you said, between Chris and Logan is that we have no idea what Strobe did. It was about the what it presents as, like the son was bound for Princeton.
No, say it right.
Our son was bound for Princeton. And then, you know.
But like, what was he supposed to do? And he never did it.
He was supposed to go to Princeton, and that was really all that we got.
I always think Strobe was a lawyer, because in that rejected like draft of the pilot that we found, Chris was a lawyer in it, and it didn't make it to the final episode, the final episode being what aired as the pilot. So I always think that he was supposed to be a lawyer, but it's just because of that. So I don't know. But yeah, I think that it's a lot more obvious.
Oh, Strobe is an attorney. That's what it says on Gilmore Girls Wiki. He is an attorney. He's a businessman. He and his family line have all attended Princeton.
Does he know Garrison, 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 and Garrison?
Oh, I wonder if he does. We saw them in Ann Arbor.
Yeah. I don't know what they do, but we laughed at that when we walked by it. If you're in Ann Arbor and you're like, oh my God, that's my family's business. Just by happenstance. But I guess like Hayden and Hayden is really what Strobe was gunning for from them. But yeah, he didn't do that. Like between, I guess, the last time we see Chris in season 7 into the revival, did he go to law school late in life? I don't know. I feel like that one's harder to do than it is with Logan, who was like bred for it, raised in it, forced into it.
Yeah. I think that he didn't necessarily, I don't know if he had the same pressure to inherit the family business as Logan did. I think that for both of these high society folks, it was really about appearances and keeping up appearances, which is not untrue about the Gilmores. I think that a lot of what Richard says to Lorelai in the episode where we meet Strobe and Francine is, you know, my daughter, the brightest in her class, was pregnant and dropping out of school. That really has more to do with optics than it has to do with you're a Gilmore and you're carrying on the family business. It was, you're a Gilmore, but you're tarnishing our name by doing something that we think and the society around us thinks is wrong. Less, you need to take on the family business.
Yeah. And I think that the pressure that Logan feels morphed for Chris and his family. That's Christopher Returns, right? In season one, when they all have that. Christopher Returns, the episode where Christopher Returns.
When Christopher Returns, yeah.
Of course. That his pressure that he might have had that he felt in Dear Emily and Richard has morphed into disappointment. And they, instead of pressuring him, they are massively disappointed in the direction he takes. They kind of blame Lorelai for it, so.
Which kind of leads us into our next set of voicemails, because this person also left two voicemails because they had a lot to say.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
More to consider. So much to consider.
So much to consider. So let's hear from our bestie, Courtney.
Hi, Tara and Haley. My name is Courtney. I'm calling in about the Lorelai and Logan episode. Something that I really wanted to bring up about some differences between them and their upbringing and their situations. We talked about how, like, some people say, like, Lorelai had more courage to stand up and get out of her lifestyle. And that is true. But I think that there's something really interesting that we have to think about, like, the gender roles of the lifestyle that they were both born into. From what we know, the men, like Logan, like Christopher, they are born into getting to just be businessmen, and without even having to do a ton of work, they can just, you know, rise up and be rich and strong leaders. Whereas the women in this system, they have to just sit back and be little, like, trophy wives, basically. Like in But I'm a Gilmore. The issue that Logan's family has with Rory is not that she is, you know, not from good breeding, not that she's not well educated, because she is. She is from good breeding because she's a Gilmore. She is Ivy League and top school educated. The issue with her is that she wants to be a working woman. She wants to go into journalism. They don't want that. They don't want a woman to work simply or do anything like that. I think that Lorelai being born into that kind of role, you know, her as being so ambitious and so driven and hardworking, and I think that she just felt so stifled in that kind of lifestyle, and she would have absolutely hated it. Whereas for a Logan or a Christopher, who are born into such very privileged, like, yeah, being born into any type of a family, no matter the gender, it is privileged, especially as a man. I think for Logan, it's much easier for him to not have to feel like he needs to fully get up and leave and find something else. And also, where is his ambition? Frankly, I like Logan. I do like Logan, but we don't know what that he says that he doesn't want to be pushed into it. He's one door and he's being pushed through it. Logan complains about having no choices, but we never see him have ambition for anything else. And sure, yeah, because he hates the life that he's being pushed into. Frankly, he's showing absolutely no actual drive to get out of that life, because he's not taking any actual steps towards any other life. And so, I don't know, I feel like that's something to think about as well, when you think about how much easier it is for him to just go along with it. He doesn't need to have so much drive to get out of it, because it's much easier to just sit back and allow you to take in that privilege and be a big businessman and be rich and be a leader and stuff. Whereas for Lorelai, especially with her personality and her drive and her hardworking nature and stuff and her independence, she doesn't want to be that trophy wife who can't, who's not allowed to work, who has to do everything that her husband says. She is not that woman, and she really, really, really went against that. And so she, yes, had the courage and had the drive to really go out and find something else and leave that life. And I think that's something really important to think about when we compare the two of them. I hope that makes sense. And I hope that the fact that it's split into two voicemails is not an issue. And I love the podcast. And bye.
Don't worry, Courtney, we're yappers too, so.
I love it. Welcome to Yapper Nation, Courtney. I love it. I have so many thoughts. Okay, the whole time I was like, oh my God, I missed Gilmore to Consider. I have so many thoughts brewing in my mind that I pulled out my notes app in the vein of Mackenzie, or just take a note during Courtney's.
Hell yeah. Lay it on me.
Voicemail. I have two kind of paths that this took for me.
Okay.
And the first being the idea of the gender roles, because if you're following along on Patreon, this is something that we're actually talking about a lot right now because of where Richard is falling, because we just watched season 6 episode 6, Welcome to the Dollhouse, when in Magic to Do episode 5, Richard has just realized what Lorelai had said was right, and Rory's not heading in the direction that he wants her to. And so the question that we've kind of been pondering on Patreon in Gilmore Revisited is, what did Richard think of what Emily does versus what he wanted Emily, or rather he wanted Rory to do, and how he wanted them to be different, and what he overall thinks of what Emily does. And so that made me think, because she was talking about like that men are like are the nepo babies who just slide right into whatever their parents want for them, and that's what they get. Don't have to work too hard, as long as they go to school, that's what they get. And then there's kind of like what Shira was saying, that like it's not that Rory wasn't bred in the sense of that I said bread and I was like dinner rolls. Sorry, I was on a roll. I was on a roll for a second there. That Rory was not bred in this high society. It's almost that she wasn't bred to be idle, because she wants to work. And so Lorelai felt stifled, is what Courtney was saying. But it kind of brought back the idea of like, maybe Richard wasn't as upset with Lorelai for leaving as Emily was, because as the series continues, she's always trying to find her husband. She's always trying to get Chris to be her husband. But with Richard, he seems to kind of have pride in Lorelai that she has taken this alternate direction and has like opened a business, and he's helping her insure it, and he's introducing her to Mike Armstrong. And he even says in season 5 that he's proud of her.
Yeah.
And so it's this idea of like, what did Richard expect from Lorelai? He always talks about that she was the top of her class, but in this society, it seems like she was meant to head in Emily's direction. And that is maybe what Emily wanted for her, yeah, was to go to school like she did, a nice school, and find a husband. Mm. But is that what he wanted for his daughter? Or are we seeing what he wanted for his daughter kind of with what we're seeing with Rory in the beginning of season 6 right now?
Yeah, I think that that's a valid point to bring up. I also think that, you know, I easily forget that Lorelai is viewed differently by both of her parents because of what is said in the pilot, when Richard really takes, I mean, and he does this outside of the pilot as well, but he and Emily have a very deep affection for Christopher. And so you, oh, yeah, in turn feel like they value Christopher, what he's done, who he is, etc., a lot more. But especially given in the pilot that Richard is like, oh, you must take after your father. How's the, yeah, motel?
I was about to say that, yeah.
It's not until he gets to kind of experience her throughout the remainder of the series, Lorelai, I mean.
Like in Help Wanted.
Yes, that he really starts to recognize her skills, her tenacity, like how scrappy she is and how knowledgeable she is. And that her going out on her own, I also think that he has this view of her up until Richard in Stars Hollow. When he comes to work and he sees her at the inn and he's just like trying to tell her what to do.
She doesn't have her work jacket on.
your work jacket. That always kills me. It's really not until Help Wanted at the end of season 2 that he starts to understand how much she comes has and
helps
done.
Him open his new office.
Yes. How much she has accomplished on her own and how knowledgeable she is, so much so that she knows more than he does, Mr. Businessman himself.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't think we ever get from Emily that she is proud of Lorelai.
And you'll have to, you watched it a lot more recently than I did. Which one is it? Is it, no, I think you're about to watch it. Is it in the episode before Wedding Bell Blues? What is that?
Come Home?
Come Home at the end when she's trying on those dresses. Mm. And she's talking about, oh, there's something that Emily says about Lorelai in the inn. I don't know if it's that she says she's proud of her, but she, she's talking to Miss Celine. Yeah. And she's telling her that she's opening her inn, or she just, yes, opened an inn.
Yes,
and
you're
so
right. You're right.
That's kind of the closest that we get to her kind of seeing that she has some pride in her somewhat over her business.
And maybe in Scene in a Mall when she's, yeah, like, I'm, you know, admiring your mother. And Rory says, oh, I do that daily.
But it's completely washed away from the fact that she's like, hey, Chris, come and ruin things.
Correct.
And, marry my daughter.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you're totally right. I never really saw it that way. But I do agree with you that the gender roles here are very fascinating because, like Haley said, we are in that period of time where Richard's starting to realize that Rory is not going back to Yale on the path that she's currently on, and everything Lorelai said was right. And it begs the question of what he thinks of his wife and, yeah, who she is.
Because he even says that, like, Rory would be getting married at the same time she was when Richard and Emily got married. And he was like, that's us. Rory's Rory, and she has things to do, is literally what he says.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is that what he thought about Lorelai? Did they have different ideas? It's the reason that we never quite exactly find out what their expectations were, because they had very different expectations, which I think would have been really interesting to learn.
Yeah, would have been.
But it really makes sense how they're different, because the next part of this was about like Logan's ambition and what ambition do you need when things are handed to you? So like he's a complainer. And at the end of the day, he's a bit of a coward because he doesn't have a lot of drive. And I think that's why from our first voicemail, it'd be so interesting for him to realize he's a father and for that child to change things for him.
Correct.
And to prioritize things differently. But Lorelai also didn't have the drive to get out of it until Rory, because in Dear Emily and Richard, it's Chris is the one that's like, let's go sleep on a park bench. And Lorelai's like, that's not the plan. The plan came over on the Mayflower. We're just going to keep doing this, my dude.
Yeah.
And it's hard to compare Logan and young Lorelai because her circumstances completely changed. But she decided to take a chance on this because her circumstances changed.
I was going to say, I really wonder where she would have been had she not gotten pregnant when she did. I do think eventually she would have left. But where I do agree with Courtney here is that there are different expectations. And, you know, Mackenzie said this in the last voicemail that we listened to before this one, that there are different expectations of these two people. Yeah. And that in this society, women working is frowned upon. And so, like you said, they feel stifled. Men taking over the family business and working is what makes them feel stifled. And so there's a lot of role reversal here in the way that they align. And I guess in that regard, you do have to kind of align Chris and Logan a little bit more than you align Logan and Lorelai. But I think part of the problem there, and I'm not as familiar with season 7 as you are, so feel free to jump in.
I am.
But I just mean, but the Logan storyline is that is he taking over the family business, or does he go off and do something on his own that fails?
It's within that.
It is within the family business.
Because it's like, I forget the names of the people he works with. I only remember Bobby because they keep saying her name over and over again. But one of the people that he works with that's like at the table in the Great Stink is the one that calls him. Mm-hmm. And so this was his like first thing I think he was doing within his father's company. And it was terrible because that's when Mitchum comes in
yes,
that one
I remember.
Episode. And he's like, oh, so your phone works. And that Rory's wearing that really cute outfit. Mm-hmm. That's when he like decides that he's going to leave because it's in Gilmore Girls Only because he shows up at Fake Mia's wedding.
Right. Fake Mia.
Yeah.
How could we forget?
So there is that. I love how like all of you have just like disregarded that because you're all like, he would never leave his family. He like canonically in season 7 did.
Yeah. But again, none of us accept that canon. Exactly. Because I was going to say, if that was something that he, you know, was really gunning for, was kind of separating himself from his family, having the ambition to do something on his own, and we got to actually see that come to fruition, I think we could better assess whether or not he's capable. But I don't think that we can because we never really see him do it.
I know, and it's really far into season 7. This is like late in the game, way too late in the season to have not seen something from a season 8 where this panned out more. Can I tell you a thought that I have that makes me think, like, at the end of this, that I'm really feeling like Logan is the path not traveled by Lorelai because of her pregnancy, her teen pregnancy with Rory, is a lot of what we said here about the gender roles, but a lot of what Richard and Emily's expectations for her were. Mm. So she hadn't gotten pregnant, we'd be watching a very different show. But the trajectory that Lorelai would have taken, she would have gone to college. But I think it would have been this push and pull between her parents of Richard wanting her to succeed in some form of something that Emily didn't, some job, some business, something. Emily, on the other hand, would have wanted her to marry well. And that's kind of what Shira and Mitchum are doing here. He doesn't fucking care what happened at that dinner. He just knows that Rory got embarrassed and that it was mean. So he decided to give her a shot. And I think that she would have experienced that too, because we talked a lot on Patreon right now about what are the expectations that he has for Rory or he even had for Lorelai. And I kind of think that it would have ended up being a lot like what Logan deals with in terms of he's going to disappoint one of them. Mm. So
totally.
Might as well pick one.
Yeah.
And
yeah, you're so right. Path. I didn't think about that.
I just thought about that today because of Courtney and Mackenzie and Jessica.
There are so many differences between Shira and Mitchum and Emily and Richard.
100%.
So many. But for all of those differences. Like
Who's to say if he even likes Logan?
That's the thing, is that, you know, the similarities with Chris and Logan exist also within their parental dynamics, because that's what I was saying earlier about Mackenzie's voicemail, is that she's arguing that for every reason that Lorelai and Logan kind of differ slightly, they have parental struggles and tension. Chris kind of fills that void. So
yeah, and I think that's why it's like every single version of this is like a little bit different, a little bit the same, a lot of bit different, a lot of bit the same. Like no matter which way you look at it, it kind of all fits in together, I think.
Totally.
The three of them really are a little triangle.
No, they are kind of
love triangle.
Like, it's less about putting the three characters together to see where the Venn diagram falls into, and kind of putting Lorelai and Chris together in a Venn diagram and where Logan falls in the center of
Logan's
that.
Logan's basically, you know, in the middle of that. Yeah.
We did do a poll on Instagram because we posted. We did
do a poll. Yeah.
Because I posted our. I know, lots of polls. I did a poll on whether or not Logan was more similar to Lorelai or Christopher, because I and this may have been before people actually listened to the episode, but I didn't post it until the day after it was aired. And 22% of people said Christopher.
Oh.
And 78% of people said Lorelai. Wow. You voted, which I am just realizing now. Who did you vote for?
I probably voted for Lorelai.
Yeah. I mean, you can make arguments for both. And I'm so glad that our three callers called in today to make their arguments, because they are very strong and solid. Yeah.
Oh, I have one more comparison that's also a difference.
Okay.
Because I'm like really stuck on this like Mitchum dying thing and how Logan would react.
Okay.
I don't think Logan would have anything nice to say about his father if he was asked to go on around in a circle and say something.
I think he'd do something similar to Lorelai. I think he'd be like...
Yeah, but I don't think that later on he would be able to stand atop a hill and cry and call his mom about something nice that happened.
Maybe he'd be able to call Rory and cry about it. I think that he would... I do think it would be much more interesting, though, if we saw him fall apart the way Chris did, knowing the relationship, because we got such a different lens into Logan's relationship with his father than we did. We got snippets with Chris and Strobe. And a lot of it was, like, we met Strobe in two different episodes, but the rest was through, narrative. So I don't know that we... I think it would be much more interesting to see Logan absolutely fall apart over this man who, you know,
over a man, his father,
who he never really, but over this man who he like really couldn't connect with, but it was still his dad. Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. Oh, man. I wish Mitchum would have died. That would have been so good in the story.
Clip it. Anyway, thank you so much to everybody who called in. I loved talking about this. It was just
we could talk
about it for hours. It's true. But next week, it's Halloween.
It's Halloween.
And we know a lot of you love that we tend to do a lot of like fan fiction-y type things when it comes to Halloween, because there was never a Halloween episode. For such a fall autumnal show, there was never a Halloween episode.
Yeah, like there was a little touch of it in six.
Yes, a little
touch of it. We're actually going to watch it soon.
I was going to say, we're about to watch it, which I'm really excited about. But what's really exciting and a little bit of a plot
twist. It's
actually
this week's episode.
Yeah.
Fun.
Exciting.
Cool. I didn't even recognize that Halloween was aligning like that.
I know. That's so cool. We didn't even plan it. But what's really exciting, what's more exciting, is that Haley's actually going to be here.
Oh, right. Oh, my God. I forgot.
Yeah. So we're recording this on Thursday, October 17th. A week from today, Haley is going to be here, and we are going to record at Spotify in New York, which we have not been to. As you guys know, we recorded at Spotify in LA when we did our rebrand, after we did our rebrand. And we are going to play Clue, Gilmore Girls style, with each other. There's going to be a murder.
There's been a murder. It reminds me of when Michael Scott said
There's been a murder.
We won't have accents, of course, but
maybe we will. I don't know.
Knowing Tara, she will 1000% do impressions and accents. We haven't quite worked out the rules of it yet, but we are super excited.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, "Happy Friday!" Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.